time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
And it is a great day to be alive on Westwood One Sports. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos today on You Better You Bet. And we've got a lot to get to. We've got wild card games to talk about. College football playoff semifinals. Guys who probably aren't worth much asking for trades and teams helping them out. Breaking news in that college football playoff field regarding coaching staffs. Yes, the saga continues in Oxford, Mississippi, which is relocated out west for the Fiesta Bowl, at least for this week. A lot to get to, coming to you from the confluence, as they say, of the three rivers in western Pennsylvania. Yes, I am a Yinzer. No, I don't have the Mike McCarthy accent, but if you want me to talk like that for the next 3 hours, that's on you. We've got a lot to get to, as I said. Nick will be back tomorrow. We've still got you covered with everything going on, including a visit from Derek Rackley of Westwood One, who will be on the call of Patriots Chargers alongside Tom McCarthy on Sunday night. And why not get into it with the five biggest stories of the day right off the top? Let's do it.
Five.
60 yards from Daniel Carlson for the late lead. Snap there. Snap there. Swings. Carlson swings.
That's it. That's the peak for the Raiders this year. Chris Lewis on the call on CBS of Daniel Carlson's 60-yard field goal to win an ugly, meaningless game against the Mahomes-less Chiefs on Sunday afternoon. They'll go into 2026 with a new coach. Pete Carroll relieved of his duties yesterday. Carroll, not the only coach to catch a pink slip on Black Monday. Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland both got the axe yesterday as well on the heels of Raheem Morris getting canned Sunday night in Atlanta. Now, with openings already existing with the Giants and the Titans, here's a question for you, though. Where are all the up-and-coming head coaching candidates coming from in this year's offseason cycle? All the names out there are retreads. Matt Nagy? Stefanski? Brian Flores? There's the LaFleur and a Kubiak out there as well. That's Mike, the Rams OC, and Clint, the Seahawks OC, respectively. So, I don't know. Maybe you just need the right surname in this year's coaching cycle. But I got bad news. If you're the fan of a team thinking that a new head coach is going to set your franchise on the right path, there aren't any Ben Johnsons or Mike McDonalds out there this year. Anybody looking for a young, up-and-coming coaching mind burning up Mike McCarthy's or Bill Belichick's phone right now? Yeah, I didn't think so. And like I said, as a fellow Yinzer, I'm obligated by blood to tell you that if this were about hanging out, talking ball, I'd love to do so with McCarthy. Maybe one of the few people who could translate that accent. But he's not taking one of these rudderless teams and suddenly sending them to the Super Bowl in a few years. And here's the worst news. If your team is also entering the quarterback market, the outlook isn't much better. Could be worse, actually. You're going to give up draft compensation to hitch your wagon to Tua Tagovailoa or Kyler Murray? Good luck. Going to bring in Malik Willis and see if he's more than just a backup again? Good luck with that. Then again, maybe those are better options than an overinflated draft class that's going to try and convince you Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore are worth top five picks. If you need a head coach or a quarterback, this may be the worst possible offseason to be in the market for either one of those. And we'll get into that in greater detail in about 15 minutes. Next.
4.2. Down by two. Jalen to get it in. They look. And here's Trey. He goes to the top. He drives. He puts it up. It's no good.
Bob Rathman on FanDuel Sportsnet Southeast. That's just a couple weeks ago. Trey Young throwing up an off-balance prayer at the buzzer in a 152-150 home loss to the Chicago Bulls. Yeah. The Hawks scored 150 at home and lost. You know why? Because of Trey Young. Because he's a defensive liability. Because he's shooting a career-low 30% from beyond the three-point line. The Hawks are just 2-8 with Trey Young on the floor this season. 15-12 without him. Atlanta doesn't need Trey Young. And here's the problem. In the wake of yesterday's news that the Hawks are working with Young's representatives on a trade, no one needs a Trey Young. Unless you're a young cellar dweller looking to burn cap space over the next couple of years. Yeah, I see you, Washington Wizards. Nobody needs a ball-hogging defensive liability who hit his peak while playing horse during COVID. In seven seasons with the guy who was supposed to be their savior, the Atlanta Hawks have won one Southeast Division title and finished above the play-in line once that same year. And that's 5 years in the rearview mirror. They're perennially just, well, there, right around 500 all the time, because Trey Young is perennially just, well, there. In a world where you just need your stars to post up from 33 feet and chuck a dozen moon balls every night, Trey Young might still have some use, but this isn't 2016. It's now 2026. And if you want to go anywhere, in the East especially, you better be able to play some defense. You better be able to drive to the hole. You better be able to do more than roll off picks and take 22-foot jumpers over and over and over again. Trey Young's usefulness has been usurped by Jalen Johnson in Atlanta. And really, until he shows more willingness to reform his game from the hot young shooter archetype that was still in style when he came into the league, it's been usurped by more complete guards around the NBA. Teams want more Brunson and less Trey Young. And the problem for the Hawks is the rest of the NBA knows this. According to some, even the Wizards are asking for draft compensation in return for taking Trey Young in a deal. So the Hawks will move on from Young at some point in the next month. The trade deadline is February 6th, 30 days away, and be better for it. And Young will play out the year plus remaining on his deal, either transforming his game into something that could be useful to modern contenders or more than likely flame out. Next.
Three.
Tyler Loop from 44. Snap good. Holden. The kick is no good. It is wide right. And the Steelers are the champions of the North.
Mike Tirico on NBC Sunday night. An insane end to the 2025 NFL regular season has given us what a lot of us thought was probably fairly improbable, if not impossible, 4 months ago. And some of you may still think that. The possibility of an Aaron Rodgers Cinderella run to cap off a Hall of Fame career. Not that any of you were actually rooting for that, outside of Steelers fans and Rodgers sycophants. Nobody is rooting for a team to get their seventh Lombardi trophy, right? The same way no one outside of New England is rooting for the Patriots, and no one outside of Philly is rooting for the Eagles or their fans. Some teams, they're just too easy to hate and root against. And then there are the darlings, right? Happens every year around this time. 14 teams go to the playoffs. 18 fan bases are left looking around like the John Travolta meme going, who do we root for now? The teams that everyone whose team has already been eliminated will root for? I mean, at the top of the list, it's the Buffalo Bills, right? Hell, I saw a survey yesterday that showed even 40%+ of Chiefs fans are rooting for the Bills. Maybe that's a big brother, little brother situation, and the only one that's allowed to beat him up is you. But anyway, it's got to be the Bills, right? Who else is high on your list of teams you'd like to see go on a run? I'm looking for your comments, by the way, in the YouTube chat. Just search the BetMGM Network and look for You Better You Bet. Who's the team you're rooting for if your team is out of it? An unlikely dog like Carolina? That's not going to last long. The always snake-bitten Chargers? It's hard to root for a Harbaugh. Is anyone dying to root for the oh-so-cuddly Sean Payton? I mean, look, if it were King of Queens, Kevin James version of Sean Payton from that terrible movie they made a couple years ago about the Saints, maybe. The Rams, been there, done that, right? Maybe Seattle? You want to root for Sam Darnold? The young up-and-coming Texans? Who are the darlings of the general public who don't otherwise have a rooting interest in these playoffs? Again, I'd love to open up this conversation to you, and we'll do just that in about 35 minutes. Next.
Two.
How would you describe the turnaround and what you've been able to build in a short period of time?
It'd be a hell of a movie.
Kurt Cignetti with Reese Davis on ESPN and ABC during the Rose Bowl post-game trophy presentation and celebration. Undefeated and out of nowhere in just 2 years, the Indiana Hoosiers have become the favorites to win the national championship. And given Cignetti's ability to attract talent, and don't forget what he did at JMU before landing in Bloomington, there's little reason to believe this is just a blip on the radar for the Hoosiers. Oregon's found itself again over the last few years under Dan Lanning as a force on the national stage. Didn't really dip that much. Miami, they're always going to be the U, right? But let's recognize they had just one double-digit win season between 2003 and 2024. And Ole Miss has somehow pushed aside all the noise over their coaching staff, including breaking news this morning about some of their assistants supposedly coming back into the fold for this game when we thought they'd be out. And they've managed to retain now Kawan Lacy and apparently Trinidad Chambliss as well. I, for one, love it. Give me the novelty of programs who've never been in this position before, or at the very least, haven't been in a long time. This is the beauty of the expanded college football playoff. I know if you're in Athens or Columbus or Tuscaloosa, you'd love to believe that it's your birthright to be in title contention and still be playing football this late in the season. But like I said earlier about familiar logos in the NFL playoffs, you're just too easy to hate. I'm sorry. Too easy to root against. And I love that you guys aren't around. I love that folks in Oxford and Bloomington are getting to revel in this experience, because every time someone moans and complains and whines, college football is dying, I have to wonder if what they're really talking about is their anger at the fact that things are different now, or they're just butthurt that different means their favorite team isn't in it right now. It's why we love the NCAA basketball tournament and March Madness. I know this comparison has been made ad nauseum, but it's true. Because in March Madness, for every Kansas, there's a Loyola. For every Duke, there's a George Mason. For every UConn, there's an FAU. And the idea of someone jumping up and snatching the brass ring who hasn't been there before keeps us enthralled in the endless possibilities. They can do it. Maybe I can do it. Maybe my team can do it someday. So why do some people hate that idea existing in college football? Why? Oh. That's right, because it might mean your team doesn't benefit from the advantage of being the established bully on the block. So this is a new wave of powerhouses we're seeing built right before our eyes. Is that a possibility, specifically in the case of Indiana and Ole Miss? Are these teams going to be back in this spot a year from now? I mean, in Cignetti's case, like I said, there's no reason to believe they won't be. Ole Miss has a lot more going on, but some of the key pieces coming back. But if this is a changing of the guard in college football, who's most likely to be the team that vaults to the head of the line and becomes a presumptive annual national title contender? Much the way Georgia, Alabama, Clemson a few years ago, and Ohio State has been for the past decade. And do we prefer it this way? I know I do, with new blood surfacing in the biggest games of the year at the most important time? Or do we want the same old crusty teams over and over and over again? We'll get into that, plus that breaking Ole Miss news at the top of the hour at 10 Eastern. Next.
One.
Fake to Corum. Stafford end zone. Touchdown. Second today for Parkinson.
That's Matt Stafford. Kenny Albert on Fox on the call. One of two, three, maybe four quarterbacks who we'd look at in this NFL postseason and say, yep, That's your prototypical Super Bowl winning quarterback there, alongside Josh Allen, right? Those are the definites. Yeah, that's Super Bowl pedigree right there. And maybe Drake May, right? Hell of a second season. Brock Purdy, he's been there. Those are the guys you'd look at and see some championship level work this season. But look at the rest of the field. Aaron Rodgers is 42. Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams are all unproven, especially at this time of year. You could say the same about Bo Nix and C.J. Stroud, and they've been powered by their defenses as much as their own arms. Justin Herbert's playoff resume resembles the remnants of a baby's blown-out diaper. Jalen Hurts and Sam Darnold are always a gnat's eyelash away from a meltdown. Jordan Love just a year removed from a playoff meltdown of his own. No Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar, not even a Goff. The playoff field is fairly devoid of big-name quarterbacks who can throw a team on their back and drag them kicking and screaming to playoff or even Super Bowl success. And look, it happens some years where your Super Bowl champ wins on the back of its defense, forcing turnovers, giving their offense short fields, and not asking the quarterback to do too much. We don't like to remember these instances because, well, it's not very palatable to our offensive-loving brains. But it happens once every 8 to 10 years, right? Go back and look at the history of Super Bowl champions. Nick Foles, Joe Flacco, Brad Johnson, who played Rich Gannon in that game. Trent Dilfer, a couple years before that. And this may very well be another one of those years where crusty old farts can wobble on their bar stool and slur, defense wins championships, you know? And actually play the part of the blind squirrel finding the nut. No, not the easy E version. You get your mind out of the gutter. 10 of the top 12 defenses in points allowed are in the NFL playoffs. And only one defense in the bottom half in points allowed made the postseason. Bears, who are 23rd. Maybe even more importantly, the top six teams in takeaways are all in the tournament. If ever there were going to be an outlier year for the league built on quarterbacks, this feels like it could be the one. Apologies to Josh Allen and the Bills, and Matt Stafford and the Rams, and maybe even Purdy and the Niners and May and the Patriots, all of whom are on teams you're probably not rooting for unless you got that soft spot for the Bills that I mentioned earlier. We've got a lot to get into today. Chris Mack in for Nick Kostos here on Westwood One Sports with You Better You Bet until noon Eastern, leading you right up to Bleck and Abdallah. And it's not just wild card weekend. Do we still call it Super Wild Card Weekend, by the way? Why did we do away with that? Because it sounded silly? I think it is super that we've got a whole weekend of phenomenal football, whether it's college or NFL, to look forward to. And we're going to get knee deep into all of it over the next 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's funny how things get made fun of because they sound dumb initially, and you go, Super Wild Card Weekend? What are we doing? And then a little farther down the line, you go, yeah, but you know what? Now that we've made fun of it, maybe it's okay to call it that again. I'm going to call it Super Wild Card Weekend, and we're going to get into absolutely all of it today here on You Better You Bet. Like I said, your comments are welcome in the YouTube chat right now. Search the BetMGM Network, and you'll find You Better You Bet. And coming up, I'm going to tell you exactly why it's the worst offseason possible to be on the hunt for a new head coach, or maybe even worse, a new quarterback. In for Nick Kostos on You Better You Bet today. Chris Mack with you here on Westwood One Sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports.